Started a new series called Radical Discipleship. And this is an acrostic series. Oh, wow, Kirk, is that the reason why the A is bigger in the word radical discipleship on my notes? Yes, not there, but on the notes. And we're going to be going through some themes. I kind of thought it'd be kind of fun to do a contest and let you guess what the next letter means. And maybe whoever gets it, I'll bring like an In-N-Out gift card. That would be kind of fun, but maybe not. Okay, so I want to talk to you this morning. I started thinking about, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, gave me this theme while we were coming back from our 40th anniversary trip to Maui, and I was sitting on the plane praying over the next few weeks and the summer months, and I just, all of a sudden, this theme came to my heart, and I jotted it down real quick, the points that I felt the Lord impress upon me. When I got to this second message, I thought, no brainer, you know, I got some books that I'd read before, and I thought this is going to be fun to dive into that, and then all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks. I can't preach this message. You know, I just recently had a lunch with Mike, and we were talking about teaching, and it's like, you know, what do you teach? And the answer is you teach what you know. And you also teach what you do. And when I got to this message, I thought, you know, wait a second. I'm kind of disqualified here. How can I preach on what I'm about ready to talk to you about? It really has become a very uncomfortable truth. And I want to just kind of guide you in that here. That, first of all, How many really hate what you see up there on the screen? You know, one of the things I love about Texas and one of the things I love about my two hats I wear, both one for the church, one for consulting, is that I never have to wear a tie. In fact, the only time you'll see me in a tie is one time when you're getting married, the other time you won't really see me in the tie. But I'll have it on. Other than that, I have some beautiful ties hanging in my closet that I just do not want any longer. I just can't stand it. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes the Lord begins to deal with our hearts, and it becomes uncomfortable. So I want to talk to you about this theme of absolute surrender. And it's an uncomfortable theme. And as I thought about it, I thought, okay, Lord, you gave me this little message here in the theme, and I really don't want to talk about this. And I'll tell you why in a moment. I looked up those two words, absolute and surrender. There's the combined definition on the screen, but the word absolute means to be free, independent of anything extraneous, hence complete in itself, positive, unconditional. And I thought about, whew, that's unconditional. That's one of those heavy words, isn't it? That's one of those $48 words, not even a $24 word. It's a $48 word. And then the word surrender means to yield to the power of another, to give or deliver up possession upon compulsion or demand. Now, the one thing I do want to make a note is that God never asks us for anything by demand or compulsion or coercion. He asks us to give him an offering of our lives freely. It means to yield, to give up, to resign in favor of another, to surrender a right or privilege or a place or an office. So I combine those two to come up with this definition of absolute surrender. Absolute surrender is the free, uncoerced, unconditional, and complete yielding of our lives to God. Now, that's tough. That's really tough. That's tough stuff. There's a book, and it's a wonderful book by Andrew Murray. It's one of the classic books in Christian literature. There are a couple books I would recommend that everybody adds to your reading of the Bible. One is this book called Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. The other is a very difficult book to read. You're going to have to read it several times before you really get it. But it's by Watchman Nee, not Watchman Lee. Don't get the two confused. One guy's a cultist. This guy was a believer, an old believer, Chinese believer, Watchman Nee, N-E-E. And it's called The Normal Christian Life. Tough book to read, but man, it'll change your life. Those are two classics I'd recommend for every believer to read. So this is what Andrew Murray says about absolute surrender, the condition of obtaining God's full blessing is absolute surrender to Him. So Andrew Murray's saying the only way we're going to enter into the fullness of what God has for us is if we learn how to be those who are absolutely surrendered to Him. And then he goes on and he says in the opening pages of his book, he says, God has created the sun and the moon and the stars and the flowers and the trees and the grass. And he says, are they not all absolutely surrendered to God? Do they not allow God to work in them just what He pleases? Now think about that. The sun doesn't say, I'm not going to shine today. The moon doesn't say, I'm not going to shine tonight. The stars, they say, I'm going to crash into the earth. You know, God keeps everything in orbit. He controls the heavens and the galaxies. Yes, there are stars that collide, but how many know that's just a miracle of God that everything orbits around the sun and we don't collide into another planet and it doesn't collide into us? How many seen the movies where that happens? It's pretty scary stuff. But God's in control. Everything is in His hands. So if all of creation, the trees, the grass, the birds, the flowers, they don't argue with God. If that's true, Andrew Murray says this, and can God's redeemed children, oh, can they think that God can work His work if there is only half or a part of them surrendered? And then he says, God cannot do it. God cannot do it. On a mission field, a missionary who had just gone into the field found a missionary had been working, and this was in Africa, for years and years, and he looked at him and he said, you've been in the field for years and years. What is the main thing that the church needs in America? You've seen what God's doing here. You've seen revivals. What does God really need for the church in America? And he looked at that missionary square in the eyes and he said, absolute surrender. Wow. Well, when we study the scriptures, we find that God calls for absolute surrender. I just want to share one with you. There's some others that you can read on your own. I'll briefly touch on them. But the first one is in Romans chapter 12. Now, we all know this scripture. We talk about it a lot in relationship to worship. But before I read the verses that are on the screen, what I want to do is focus on the three verses that precede it. In Romans chapter 11, Paul closes out that chapter by saying this in verses 33 to 36. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And then he says, so notice, let me set this up. He's saying, do you realize how big God is? Do you realize how awesome God is? Do you realize that everything we look at, the air we breathe, everything we do, the ability to have the jobs we have, the ability to live in the homes we live in, to drive the car we drive, to have the family we have, to live in this country, everything we take for granted, do you realize that that's all because of Him? He says, if that's true, if God's really that big, then he goes on, he says, and I love this, in Romans 12, 1 to 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Think about that concept of a living sacrifice. And think about if I was a lamb going to sacrifice, a live lamb walking to the sacrificial altar, and I said, wait a minute, I don't want to give my leg. So I went and I sawed off my leg and I put it off to the side because I'm going to keep the leg for myself. Well, on the way back to the altar, guess what? I die. Think about it. I can't be a living sacrifice if part of me's cut off, if part of me's taken away, if part of me's reserved for myself. The only way I can be a living sacrifice for God is if I give him everything. That's absolute surrender. Now, there's a story, and it's a true story in the Bible in Luke 18 about Jesus and a young ruler. And the young ruler was a very religious guy. Let me put it in context of church. He went to church every Sunday. In fact, he was the head of the Sunday school department for years, and he was a tither. I mean, he was a good tither. And he was doing really great. And he came up to Jesus and he said, and it says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. And there, in that turn, Jesus was saying, do you really know who you're talking to? Do you really know who you're talking to? You're talking to the living God. You know the commandments, Jesus said, don't commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And the young rich ruler, he was a good guy. He was a moral guy. He was upstanding. And he said, he got excited probably, and he said, hey, I've done all those. I got them down. He was ready. And then Jesus said this to him, and this just goes, he goes, Jesus heard it. One translation says Jesus loved him, and he said, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have, distribute it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when the rich ruler heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. That rich ruler would be welcomed into every church in America probably and made an elder or deacon and the head of a ministry. You see, we don't really talk about absolute surrender anymore because we don't want to offend anybody. But I want to tell you, if we're going to have radical Christianity in our lives, and if we're going to be the church that God wants us without spot or blemish, if we're going to be on fire for God, we got to get back to what God has called us to. Now, does that mean everyone here sells everything they have and gives to the poor? Absolutely not. Hold on, I'm going to clarify that at the end of this message. But what it does mean is that for that young man, for that rich ruler, that was a call for him to give everything to God. The story is not complete. No one ever knows what would have happened if the rich young ruler would have said, I want to do that, Jesus, but I just don't think I can. What would have happened? We'll never know. Because he wasn't willing to even become willing. And he walked away. So, my next question is this. Will everyone who has attained absolute surrender please stand up? You ever see To Tell the Truth where you got three people and they're all saying, well, I bake chocolate chip cookies. I bake chocolate chip cookies. No, I bake chocolate. And then they try to make their case, and finally one person stands up, the real guy who bakes. Who is that? Is there anyone in here who's got chocolate chip cookies? I'm hungry now. I thought about that. I can't, you know, this is something we never fully attain. And sometimes in Christian life, the things that we don't fully attain, we don't even try for. Did you hear just what I said? The little kid, you ever seen those little kids who play t-ball? I mean, it's almost the most pitiful experience to watch them the first time they get up to that tee. Yeah. They put the ball on there, and little kid's never swung the bat before. There's the ball stationary. Listen, I'm not laughing because you would want to see me. But they're swinging, and they're just like, I mean, they're hitting everything but the ball. They hit the tee over, they swing in the air, you know. But listen, if they don't keep trying, One moment in time happens when all of a sudden they don't even know how, but they swing that bat and it hits the ball and the ball goes, but they hit it. How many of you can recall that moment in your life? No? So many times because things are difficult, because we don't fully attain them, we just dismiss them. But I want to tell you, we all struggle with the concept and experience of absolute surrender in our lives. All of us struggle with that. I want to go back to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and the story of Jesus and the rich young ruler. And listen what happened. It says, when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, Jesus said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then those who heard it, and who were those who heard it? Disciples. They're listening to Jesus. They heard it, and they said, well, if that's the case, I'm out of here. That's what they're basically saying. Who then can be saved? I mean, we all struggle with this concept. God says, I want you to give me everything. And we're saying, who can do that? You guys all got this down, and I don't have it down? Because, I mean, I'm going, am I the only one? Thank you. Whew. You even start sweating there. In Romans chapter 7, I'll read that in listen, I don't have that in the notes, but just the reference. Listen to this. For we know that God's law is spiritual, but I'm broken by sin. For what I am doing, I don't even understand. The thing that I will do, I end up not practicing. The thing that I hate, sometimes that's what I do. And the good that's in me to do it, the will to do it, is there, but then I don't do it. And then the stuff I don't want to do, and then Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? What's going on with Paul? Did he suddenly get unsaved? Did he suddenly lose everything? What he's saying is this: God's calling for everything from me. Read Romans 6. And there is a struggle in me that I see raging. How many of you have experienced that when you've said, I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to really get in the Bible. I'm going to start seeking God through intercessory prayer. I'm really going to start witnessing. I'm going to just really be on fire for God. And the minute you make that decision, boy, I tell you that, you make it in church. Hallelujah! And then Monday comes and the enemy comes in like a flood and he starts hitting you and boxing you around. Like one of those little boxing things. I had Bozo the Clown when I was little. Pop! Pops back up. I could never knock him out. No matter how hard I hit Bozo, he was down, he was back up. He had this magical sand on the bottom of him that just kept popping him up. Just cut the bottom, you got him. See, the deal is that I really want to give everything to God. But I always find myself negotiating with God. Okay, God, yeah, you want that? Okay, I'll give you that, but you know that over there I'm working on, so let's not talk about that. Or you want me to, what? Well, God, don't you see everything that I'm doing over here? Let's leave that one for later. You see, I'm a great negotiator. This week I was at a Walmart Summit in Bentonville, Arkansas, for U.S. manufacturers. I was representing our company I consult for. And we've been locked out of Walmart for 5 years. We were their vendor for 20 years. We grew their sales by double digits for 20 years. Then we got given a bus ticket, and we were sent out of Bentonville, driving not a literal bus, but a little pink slip saying, your candles are no good. Your product is inferior quality. And then we went to the store. What are they going to carry? And they carried a candle from India. and it was horrid. So I knew it wasn't about quality, it was about something else. So now Walmart came and they said, we're going to buy $250 billion of U.S. goods and help make U.S. jobs. And I said, that's great. And the chief merchandising officer of the company stood up and gave the speech. I had tried to make a product presentation at that meeting, was denied. I tried to call up to make an appointment, I've been denied. It's like the doors locked, shut, bolted, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? I got one chance. I saw the guy, he's like the this is like you got the CEO of Walmart and the CMO, like they're like, you know, just Mutt and Jeff, two different hats, but the same level. So I looked at him, and I said, phew. I walked up, and they were talking, and I saw the break, I went, and I blocked the guy from here, and I put my hand out here, and I said, I'm going for it. See, I can negotiate. And I talked to him, and I said, can I just be honest with you? And I laid out the plan, and he said, send me a personal email. So I said, I'm not going to take no for an answer, but I can't use that same bravado of negotiating with God, because when God calls for something in my life, it's not up for negotiation. It's up for surrender. See, everything that I do in the natural, it doesn't apply here. So we struggle with this, but let me tell you, God gives us all the same promise regarding absolute surrender. What is that promise? Well, when the disciples said, who can do this? In Luke 18, 24 to 27, Jesus said, with men, it's impossible. But listen, with God, all things are possible. That's the promise. I do believe, I'm just going to go out and conjecture here. I'm going to get a little bit on the ledge here. Woo. And I'm going to say, I believe that if the rich young ruler would have cried out to Jesus, the story would have gone a whole lot different. But Jesus let him leave because he didn't cry out. Romans 7, 24 to 25, when Paul realizes the struggle within and the problem he has, he just can't do this absolute surrender thing. It's just not natural for him. He just can't live within his own strength and follow God. He keeps messing up. He cries out, who can deliver me from this body of death? And he says this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. What you can't do, he can do in you. We got to get back to that. And then in Mark 9, I love this, verses 23 and 24. Listen to this wonderful, wonderful promise. Jesus said to the father whose child had died, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And the father, the child, cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, we have just bred this version of Christianity that's not human. I want to tell you, there is not one evangelist, there's not one author, there's not one pastor in this entire land who is not struggling with the same stuff I'm talking about. And when we give this vision of people who are walking on this crust above everybody else, as if they never struggle, as if they never have problems with this call to absolute surrender, it is both a lie and it's a disservice to the body of Christ, because we're not being real with the people that we're shepherding. And I'm just like you, man. My feet are made of clay. I struggle. All week, the enemy was hitting me hard as I was preparing this message. And all week I had to cry out to God, God, how can I preach this Sunday when I'm battling like this? What did he do? I didn't do nothing. It was all in here. I didn't get in an accident this time either, nothing. Well, I ate good, but anyway. Last, we all receive the same provision from the Lord regarding absolute surrender. I love the fact that Romans 8, and I can't get into the whole chapter, but I just want to read that part. It says, he condemns sin in the flesh through the life and death of Christ and the resurrection. That empty tomb just screams out, it's done. so that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You can never do this stuff. We can never be radical in our faith. We can never be on fire for the Lord if we try to do it by ourselves. It's not by power. It's not by strength. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it's only the Holy Spirit who enables us to do that which we cannot do. We rise up with wings like eagles. I love eagles and I love sparrows. I love sparrows because I like to feed them French fries when I'm eating at McDonald's or In-N-Out. And they all come up and they hop. And then they try to take a big old fry and fly away. You ever seen that? I mean, they don't have this concept like, I can't handle that fry. You know, they said, no, I'm going for that fry. And the fry is bigger than their body. And they take off and they're just kind of going, and they're, and it's like, I'm going, go, Sparrow, go. And then he always has about three or four friends who come in and help him. Sounds like life, doesn't it? But an eagle, man, an eagle says, French fry, yeah. Double, double, yeah. But the whole time he's scoping everything out, he's just soaring. Every once in a while, it's a catches another bank of wind. He's banking, he's soaring, he's just checking things out. You ever seen a seagull? A pelican. My wife loves pelicans. We have a whole collection. And we love to watch them just cruise over the ocean. They get about this high off the water. They're just going like a jet. I mean, they're not even flapping. And then all of a sudden they go up and they come down with a fish in their mouth. It's amazing. They're not working hard. They found the power. The provision is the Holy Spirit. The provision is God. Philippians 12 to 13 says that, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God works in you both to will and to do his good purpose. You see, the things God calls for you to do, he's placing both the desire and then he gives you the ability. He never calls you to do something he doesn't equip you to do. But you can't do it in your own strength. And that's where we fail. And finally, he gives us the same blessing. I love this. The same blessing. Where is my blessing? There's my blessing. Thank you, Lord. I got the blessing. We all get the same blessing. Here's a scripture in Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, and I love this. Peter began, and this is the same story about the rich young ruler. Jesus said, you know, he let him go. And Peter said, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. Then Peter goes, like Peter always does, well, I gave up everything, Lord, and follow you. And Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come eternal life, but many who are first will be last and the last will be first. I want to tell you, I could talk to you until it was 4 o'clock tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. I won't do that. I could tell you story after story after story after story after story after story about the times God has called me to give up something in absolute surrender to him, and he's given me back so much more. You can never outgive God, and when he calls you to give of yourself, he's ready to give of himself into you. So, worship team, come back up. I want to give you 4 concluding thoughts, because this is pretty heavy stuff. And how do we wrap it up so we can kind of like get our mind around it and we can then begin to implement it? The first thing I want to just tell you before we get ready to seal this message with communion is that absolute surrender is not optional for the believer. It isn't optional, it's the call. If you're thinking, you're saying, well, you know what, I'm gonna believe in Jesus. Yeah, I'm gonna believe in Jesus. And I believe the Bible too. But this absolute surrender stuff, giving myself fully to God, not so much. In fact, I'm going to go to a church that doesn't even talk about that. Thank you, because I mean, I just don't want to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can go somewhere that doesn't talk about that. You can try to duck the Holy Spirit's call to your heart or life, but it's not optional. It's the call of God. Second point I want to make is that absolute surrender is not our work, it's the work of the cross. He died so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for Him. Galatians 2, 20 to 21 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I grew up a pretty good kid. I was clean cut. If you ever watched reruns of Happy Days, or if you actually watched them like I did when they really ran, I was Richie Cunningham. I've said that many times. I was. And I didn't get into drugs, and I didn't get into trouble, and I never got arrested, and I never got busted. I was senior class president. I always cut my hair short. I always had a job. I always owned my own car since I was 16. I mean, I was just clean-cut, American, boring. But I was that. Well, I want to tell you, in business one time, I had a trip to Las Vegas. And I was driving there, and I checked into my hotel room. And I was battling, and I determined, I'm just going to go pull out all the stops and sin tonight. I didn't know what I was going to do, folks. Don't get the wrong way. I just knew that I had never been to Las Vegas and sinned. So I was going to do it. And so I got all shaved and I got all cleaned up and I was walking to the door and I was going to go sin and I put my hand on the doorknob and I felt the Holy Spirit just say to me, man, if you go out there, it ain't going to be pretty. And I had been reading The Normal Christian Life. Now see, you see how split this gets? And God had been dealing with me about the cross and about a sanctified life and about giving him everything. And here I was in Vegas and I was just going to give myself everything, whatever that was, because Richie Cunningham didn't know. Honey, don't laugh too hard. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, I got on my knees in that room. I'm not kidding. This was the turning point of my life. And I said, if I don't see myself nailed to the cross with you, I'm going out, I'm going to destroy my life. I need to know that I'm crucified with Christ. And at that moment, I knew that I was crucified with Christ. And I want to tell you, I just bolted the door and I stayed in. I didn't go out until I went out the next day on business. Now, I haven't always been perfect. But that night will never leave me because everything in me was negotiating until God dealt with me. So absolute surrender is a work of the cross. Third thing in closing is absolute surrender is not defined by any human agent. It's a call defined solely by the Holy Spirit through God's word. This is where pastors and churches mess it up. I'm going to hand you out a list now of what it really means to look to be absolutely surrendered. If you're absolutely surrendered, you will all sign up for VBS. If you're absolutely surrendered, you will all increase your tithe. If you're absolutely surrendered, you will all buy my new book out in the lobby. It's not a list, folks. I don't determine that list. It's God's Holy Spirit speaking to you individually from His Word and writing that in your heart. And finally, absolute surrender begins with just a simple prayer. And this is what I was praying all week. I said, God, you know, why am I still struggling? Why does the old nature just try to pop up all the time? I did everything I know, man. I know Romans 6 through 8. I've taught in it so many times. I reckon myself dead indeed into sin, alive unto God. I'm doing all this stuff, and yet the old Kirk was trying to, it was like a zombie movie. The Night of the Walking Dead, and the old Kirk was coming up. He was coming for me. I had to get my little Nerf zombie gun and zap him. In the name of Jesus, because I needed Jesus to rise up. And I said, God, this is all I could pray all week. God, I want to be willing to be able. Make me willing. You must be my surrender. I cannot be surrender to you. You must become my absolute surrender. Make me willing to be able. So as we come to the communion table, and I'm going to invite you to come to just talk to the Lord about where you're at. Have you been negotiating this week? I mean, is there stuff in your life you just need to just lay down at the cross? As you come to this old wooden cross, and if you can only say this, Lord, make me both willing and able to surrender completely to you. That's all he's asking for. He's not asking for you to lay anything at the altar. You know, I mean, how many times in the old Pentecost churches did they have the services where they brought the records and the cigarettes and they did all these crazy gymnastics and they wept and they did all this kind of stuff only to go back and buy another pack of cigarettes and to get a new copy of that album? You know what I'm talking about? God wants to do deeper work in us than that. Radical Christianity is when Jesus becomes the consuming fire of our lives. And so, Lord, as we come to this table, you said that you've given us your body and your blood. Your body was broken for us because we're broken people. Our brokenness was leading to death, and your brokenness led to healing. Lord, our blood was not sufficient as a payment for the penalty of our sin. And you said that blood was given for atonement because life was in the blood. And so, Jesus, you came and you shed your own blood and you brought it into the Holy of Holies once and for all to pay the full penalty of our sin and to break both its penalty and its power. And when you cried out, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent in two, and access to God was opened up to everyone who believes by grace through faith. And so, Lord, a lot of us today are a little bit of a mess, maybe. But you said, take heart. With men it may be impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Father, help us to see that absolute surrender is not a work that we do. It's a gift we give in response to the work you do in us. And so as we come to your cross, let us receive the healing. Let us receive the forgiveness we need. Help make us willing and able to surrender all. I'm going to ask Eddie to lead us in this first song, and I'm going to open up the table of the Lord and invite you to come and receive the elements and take them back, and we'll partake together, and then we will close.
Like the ocean tide. mighty mountain. Your justice flows like ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow. Mighty mountain, your justice flows like the ocean tide. I will lift my voice to worship you, my King. I will find my strength in the shadow.
Thank you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we take the wafer. You took the bread, you blessed it, you broke it. Let's break it together. You gave it to your disciples. You said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Partake of the wafer. You took the cup likewise. And after you'd given thanks, you said, take, drink all of it. Listen, he didn't say take a sip. He said, take and drink all of it. For this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for the remission of your sin. My blood, your sin, equals my righteousness in you. No matter what we've done, no matter what this week has been like, no matter where we've traveled, no matter how broken we may be right at this moment, no matter how many struggles or negotiations we've waged against the Lord or our own self, the cup reminds us that his mercies are new every morning, and that this is the moment when the veil is ripped in two once again, and we're invited into the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus Christ to find help, grace and mercy in our time of need. And if we truly confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Drink ye all of it. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's partake of the cup together. Loving us, that you sent your only begotten Son to live a perfect life, absolutely surrendered, so much so that he gave himself up to die on the cross, to become a curse in your own sight, so that we might become precious once again through him to you. We pray that you would just help us to walk in that understanding that it's not by power or by might, but it's by your Spirit. It's not a work of our own human flesh. It's the full and complete work of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's by daily putting one foot forward in obedience to the prompting of the Holy Spirit through your word. It's learning how to partner with you because you're working within us both to will, and then you give us the grace to do So, Lord, make us willing and make us able to live surrendered, absolutely surrendered to you. We want to be radically on fire for Jesus. Burn away everything that's chaff. Burn away everything of wood, hay, and stubble, and help us become your gold refined in fire. And I pray your blessing upon everyone here. I pray that you would bless them. May the Lord bless you this morning and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you need to know him as your personal Savior and Lord. I want you to come up front. There'll be someone here to pray with you. If you need further ministry, there'll be someone here to pray with you. May not be a team, maybe an individual, but someone will hang around. Maybe someone from the worship team will slip down to pray with you. If you need prayer, as I dismiss, come forward. Other than that, go in the love of the Lord. Go and live for him. Go just fill with his Spirit this week. And listen, he's already working it in you, so just go and let him do it. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week.